My first teaching job was at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. My first real teaching job. I had a few unreal teaching jobs. But Spelman College, Atlanta, Georgia, Black Women's College in Atlanta. I went down there in 1956 and stayed there. My wife and I and our two little kids lived in the black community around Spelman College. And those were probably the most educational years of my life. Those were the years of the movement. And my students became involved in the movement, and I became involved in the movement. And I, from Atlanta, I went down to Albany, Georgia, and to Selma, Alabama, and Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and Greenwood, Mississippi, and Jackson, and other places. And as I say, learned a lot. One of the things I learned was the capacity of human beings who seem powerless to create enormous power just by their own acts of getting together, of sacrificing together, of taking risks together, and how against what seem insurmountable odds, things can change by people determining to change them. Because what could be a tougher situation than for black people in Mississippi or Alabama or Southwest Georgia to decide to change a deeply embedded set of social relations that had existed in those societies for a long time? And it didn't look like it could be done, but it was done. And to see that happen, and to see people who were quiet and silent suddenly speak up, people who were just going about every day doing their job, apparently, and this is what, remember, they used to say, well, people here are happy with their lives. Look at them. They're just going about their daily work. Well, one thing I learned is not to mistake silence for acceptance. Not to think because people aren't doing anything at any particular time that they're not capable of doing something an hour from now. And I could see people, you see people change. My students at Spelman College were the most controlled students. They were taught to be controlled. They were supposed to be controlled. They were the daughters of maids and laundresses and porters and sharecroppers. And they were supposed to go to college so they could lift themselves up into the black middle class and make something of themselves. And so the idea was to stick to their work, stick to their studies and become successful and don't get into trouble. And this college was surrounded by a stone wall and barbed wire to make sure that's where you stay, that's where you what you do. You can have your nice little, this was a kind of unspoken pact between the city fathers of Atlanta and the black colleges of Atlanta, Spelman and Morehouse and Atlanta University. And the pact was, you can have your nice Negro colleges, you can even have a few white faculty. We will even let some white people from town come to campus at Christmas time to listen to the Glee Club. Really. But in return, don't interfere with what happens in the city of Atlanta, which at that time was as tightly segregated by race as Johannesburg, South Africa. And yes, there was that wall around the campus, and at a certain point, the students leaped over that wall and went into the city. It had been in them for a long time. It had been in them from the time, who knows at what age, or 4 or 5 or 7, or whatever age it was that they first became conscious that they were looked upon as different by society. Sometimes my students would write to me about that first time in their lives when they became conscious of the fact that they belonged to a different group that was looked on in a certain way. And one thing, white society in America has never really been able to encompass, no matter how liberal and tolerant and understanding it is, it has never been able to comprehend the depth of feeling, the depth of indignation and anger in people who have that history that black people have had in this country. And so when they behave in ways that are incomprehensible to us, like exulting or some of them exulting, some black people exulting at the acquittal of O.J. Simpson, say, what's wrong with them? Forgetting that the people are never reacting only to the immediate event. People are always reacting to their own lives.